Welcome to worship, and it's great to be back with you. I've been gone for a few weeks, and I tell you, there isn't any place I'd rather be than right here with all of you this morning, worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope you've all had a wonderful, restful summer. There's still a couple weeks of it to go. My kids start back, though, next week, Tuesday, and it just felt like it flew. I remember when I was younger, the summers were a lot longer, weren't they? So, welcome to worship. I'm so glad to be with you this morning.
Please pray with me. Father God, as we come before you this morning, we acknowledge you for all the many things you are to us. We know you as creator of all things, Lord of heaven and earth, wonderful Savior, Abba Father, awesome God, and many, many other names. We know you are in control of all things and have promised to never forsake us. We thank you for all the gifts that you bestow upon us, for the opportunities we've had this summer to see your creation, for meeting our needs, for keeping us safe, and for this place where we can come freely to worship you. Lord, this morning, some come with humble hearts as well. We confess that we have not done the things that we should have. We have used our tongues to hurt instead of building. We have taken for granted the things that we have. We rush from one thing to the next without stopping to acknowledge you. Forgive us for not paying more attention to the really important things and for focusing on and worshiping the worldly ways and not your ways. Lord, we also praise you for the Olympic Games that have gone on in the last 2 weeks. Thank you for the presence of so many athletes from all over the world. Bless their relationships and any new relationships that have been formed, and let them be examples to the entire world and also for us, that we would seek for their strength, follow their types of commitments as we attempt to follow your ways. Father God, please be with those in our congregation and our extended families who are ill and give them healing. Lord, we specifically pray for Judy Van Gassel's daughter, who is still in the hospital. We pray for peace and for healing and for wisdom for the doctors. Be with those who are going through hard relationships. Show them your presence and give them patience. Be with those struggling financially and show them the way out of these situations. Be with our children and students and teachers as we rapidly approach the beginning of a new school year. Give them positive attitudes and a desire to do well. And Lord, for our country and all of our leaders, give them wisdom as they determine how to lead us. And as we move into the fall in this congregation, help us to rededicate ourselves to looking for ways that we can serve you, and help each one of us to be willing to jump in and to look for what you would have us to help and do. And now as the ushers come forward, we ask that you bless the offerings that we give this morning and that you help us to give generously. And then let us close by praying together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The first passage of Scripture this morning comes from 1 Chronicles 18, 1 through 6. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And he took Gath and its surrounding villages from the control of the Philistines. David also defeated the Moabites, and they became subject to him and brought tribute. Moreover, David fought Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as the Hamath, when he went to establish his control along the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 of them. He put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought tribute. The Lord gave David victory everywhere he went. The second passage of Scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we've sort of been focusing on the Olympic Games this morning, and I can't tell you how excited I was every night to go home and turn them on. I just loved watching them this time, and I like the diving too. I never thought about diving into sand, but that may happen sometime. But I enjoyed the diving and the gymnastics, and this year I even kind of got into beach volleyball. I never sort of got into that before. But there's something really exhilarating about watching people compete at such an excellent level, isn't there? There's just something cool about that, and to be amazed at what people can accomplish when they train. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but during Jesus' time, the Olympic Games were in full swing. And if you read the scripture in the Greek, you can, in the New Testament, Paul uses a lot of words that had to do with the Olympic Games to talk about the Christian life. Now, during Jesus' time on earth, the Olympic Games were held in Greece, and history tells us that the Olympic Games began in the 7th century before Christ in Olympia, and they were held every fourth year, almost continually for 1,200 years. And during that period, the Greeks even marked their calendars in four-year periods called Olympiads, which is interesting. Now, some of the events that they had in the Olympic Games during Jesus' time were running, leaping, spear throwing, boxing, wrestling, chariot racing, and this one sort of intrigued me, racing in armor. I'd like to see that sometime. Everyone who competed were required to take an oath that said, I trained for at least 10 months and I will not resort to unfair tricks. That's what they had to do back then. You know, there are no steroids, but there's a lot of ways to cheat, right? So they had to promise they wouldn't cheat. And if you won these games, or the Corinthian games, which were like the Olympic games, they were on the second tier down, there were a lot of benefits. Now, they didn't have boxed cereal back then, so you wouldn't get your, you know, face on the front of a Wheaties box. But your name and hometown were shouted out when you were awarded the wreath. Then you would be given a triumphal parade in your town. You'd get a lot of money, and your children would receive free education for life. You'd be exempt from military duty, and you were released from paying taxes. Can you imagine? We don't do that anymore. Too bad. Now, Paul, as I said, uses these games as an illustration for the Christian life, using phrases in the Greek that people would have recognized as part of the competition of the Olympic Games back then. And I wish I could get into all of that with you. It could take 6 weeks of study, but it's fascinating. But he says, the point is, he says, to run the Christian life to win. Run that race so that you do it well. Don't settle for second best, a life of mediocrity, sort of living around the edges of your faith, dabbling, so to speak. No way, he says, give the Christian race your all. It's that important. Excellence in following the Lord, victory in life, doing things well is all through the Old Testament. Like we read about David too, the Lord gave him victory in all things. And God honored David and blessed him because David continually sought connection with God. Obviously, there's a lot we can learn from the Olympic Games. What is it that these athletes have in common that help them to compete at such a high level and win? Now, I found four things that were common across the board for all the athletes that competed in the Olympic Games. Number one is they had desire. They all had a desire to excel, to do the best that they could do to train to that end. They had passion deep down inside to set records, to make a difference in the athletic arena. And you might say, well, yeah, maybe they were born with, you know, physical ability that I don't have. But you know what? Probably the most moving thing I saw was a man called Oscar Pistorius, who saw him compete. Can you believe this guy? I mean, he's known as the fastest man on no legs. They call him Blade Runner. And he qualified for the 400-meter semifinals a week from last Saturday, making him the first double amputee sprinter to compete at the Olympics. Obviously, you can see he runs on prosthetic legs called flex foot cheetahs. He came in second in his heat. You know, what kind of desire must he have had to make the seemingly impossible goal? To make it to the semifinals in the Olympics. This isn't your local YMCA community race, although that would have been, you know, pretty impressive too. This is the Olympic Games with no legs, and then meet that goal. No one would have said he was born with the physique needed to be an Olympian. Actually, his legs were amputated when he was 11 months old because of deformity. But it was his passion, his desire, his wanting to excel that gave him the ability to compete at the highest level. What an amazing testimony, right? To what can happen when you're passionate about something and give your all to it. Rick Warren, who's the pastor of Saddleback, says a passionless life is a wasted life. I like that. So if you want to make an impact with your life, you must have passion, desire for something, and go for it with all you've got. So let's look at Paul again, 1 Corinthians 9:24. You know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. So run to win. Run to be victorious in the Christian life. Have the desire to make your life count for Christ. Now, there's a lot of good things in different religions, a lot of truths, but we differ from a lot of them too. And one of the ways we differ, let's say, from Buddhism is this. Buddhism says that the goal of life is to eliminate all your desire. And once you get rid of your desire, then you'll be happy. In Christianity, the theology says God has given us our desires. And God says, use them for me. Don't use your desires for evil. Channel those desires for my glory. Channel them to reach out to others, to shine your light in this sorry world, to bring people to Christ, and do it with all you've got. All right. The second thing that I think all the athletes had in common who competed in the Olympic Games was direction. They were focused on a goal. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. These Olympic athletes were not just playing around, right? They had a target. They had a goal. They had an objective. It was something specific that they wanted to attain, not something sort of vague and general out there, I'm not sure. It's like if you went to your favorite restaurant, let's say, and the waiter or the attendant came up to you and said, may I take your order? And you said, yeah, I'd like some food, please, right? And that person would say to you, what kind of food? Be more specific. You know, the Olympian athletes didn't just dabble in this and dabble in that. I'm into this week. I'm into that the next. I think I'll try this over here. They had specific direction. They were wholehearted, completely committed to a certain cause, goal, target. As I said, they weren't just coasting. Someone said, when you are coasting, you're always going downhill, right? Ever see anybody climb a mountain and coast? No way. So be prayerful then. Consult with those who know you well and folks that you trust. And then out of that prayer consultation and self-reflection, get to know your direction, the specific thing that God is calling you to do. And go for that with all your heart. And ask the question, what is the focus of my life? Because whatever you focus on, you know what? That's what you're going to move toward. If you say, I'm not going to be like my dad or my mom when I grow up, yeah, who are you focusing on, right? Instead of saying what you're not going to do, think about what you want to do. I want to do this and focus on that goal. Then the third thing that all of these athletes shared was discipline. Now, doesn't the word just discipline just fill you with joy and happiness, make you feel light? I'd just really like to skip over this one, just like I'd really like to skip over going to the gym, doing my little workout. And I know of a poster that says there's a new discovery, prayers that help you burn away fat. And that sounds a whole lot easier sometimes to me than the treadmill. And yet the training that these athletes went through to get to the Olympic Games required a lot of discipline, didn't it? Doing what sometimes they simply did not feel like doing. Working out early in the morning, maybe when nobody was watching, pushing themselves beyond what other people were doing, going beyond the norm. One of the things I got to do on my vacation was travel with my son Jonathan and watch him play baseball. And they played really well on the field, but I got to see some of the things that went on beforehand, and there was a lot of discipline there inflicted by those coaches. I mean, there was a lot of ongoing exercise, some tough conversations, workout sprints, often in terrible heat, just to prepare the team for the game itself. But it's doing that kind of extra work, spending the extra hour studying, going the extra mile, doing the extra phone call, making the extra effort that turns our desire and direction into a win. Now, how does this translate into your spiritual life? If you want to grow in your faith, you need to discipline yourself to do certain things. And it's just critical for your growth as a Christian. In a nutshell, those habits are studying the scriptures, serving others, and spending time in prayer. Now, granted, you're not always going to feel like doing these things. It may not always be convenient or something that fills you with delight. Sometimes you're going to like it, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're going to feel inspired, sometimes you're going to kind of feel, well, so much for that. But this is the discipline necessary to stay the course as a Christian when the going gets rough. And to learn to live victoriously over time, even when circumstances are not going your way. So let me just ask you, are you involved somewhere where you can learn the Bible and make it central to your life? If you're not, get involved in the Philippians study that we're doing in September. We're not just doing the Philippians study to do one more thing. We're doing it to give you an opportunity to grow in your faith and your knowledge of the Scripture. And as I said, Philippians is a great book to learn about wherever you are in your faith journey. Beginner, intermediate, or longtime Christian. Second question, are you serving anywhere? As I said before, some of you are serving too much, but if you're not serving in your area of giftedness, that's why August 26th is Jump In Sunday. This gives you a chance to sign up for something that you have passion about, that you're interested in. And it's also a chance to see the wonderful things that West Valley Press is involved in. Amazing ministries here that you can do and serve in. And then the last thing, do you have a group or even one person with whom you can pray? Now, we all need community. We need one another. And our small group Bible studies offer chances to pray with groups of people who know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, get with people who know how to pray, and you'll learn. So if you're interested in joining a small group, let me know. I'll get you connected. And then finally, the fourth thing that all the Olympians had in common was determination. Determination. There's a sign in a church here in Cupertino that says, never give up. And I really like that sign. And I believe that's what God tells us again and again in Scripture. Great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. They won't give up. Jesus, if you read his parables, was big on determination, persistence, never giving up. He has this great story in the New Testament. You can read about it in Luke. And the story is about a persistent widow that keeps going to a judge. And this judge is not a great guy. He doesn't have a good character. He doesn't care about anybody or really have a lot of empathy for the widow's plight. The widow wants money and she's destitute. And the judge keeps ignoring her. But because she keeps bugging the judge, she keeps coming back, she doesn't give up. She is just relentless. Finally, the judge gives in and gives her her request just to get rid of her so that, you know, he doesn't keep getting bugged by her request. And Jesus said, how much more will God answer your prayers, God who cares about you, who loves you, when you keep coming to him in prayer? Keep at it in prayer. Any of you who are persisting in something, Jesus tells you, don't give up. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that holds us back. Let us look only to Jesus. And when we do this, Scripture says in Romans 8, 37, every Christian is more than a conqueror or winner through him who loved us. I just wanted to let you know that the Greek word translated more than conquerors in Roman 8:37 is the word Nike. Nike, yeah, yeah. The Greek word that one of our most popular modern athletic shoe companies borrowed for a corporate name. Amazing. So some of you might have come here today ready to give up on something. Maybe it's a marriage or a friendship or a relationship you've worked on for a really long time, and you just can't take it anymore, and you might be ready to throw in the towel. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe you just aren't able to connect with God in a meaningful way right now, and you don't want to stay the course. It's just too hard. Or maybe you want to give up on some kind of healing. You've got to work through some issues from your past, and it's really painful. Or maybe it's a recovery process from some sort of an addiction that you've suffered from, and you've been on the right path, but today it's really hard, and you are being tempted to go back to the old ways. Maybe it's a dream you've had, something you want to see accomplished, and you've tried to work towards it, and it just isn't happening. So many things are getting in the way of that dream. And God says to you today, don't give up. I am with you. I am your God. You aren't alone. I'm the best coach and advocate and friend and support you'll ever have. I'm telling you to hang in there. Keep at it. Don't give up, even if you're discouraged. We'll finish this together. One of the great Olympic stories is that of Derek Redmond, who was a guy who ran in the Barcelona Olympics. And as he was running the 400 meters, he pulled a hamstring and fell, as you can see the picture, while everyone else passed him by. With 100 meters to go, it looked like he would not finish the race. But then his father came out of the stands, there he is, to help him the rest of the way. Derek said, when he came over and put his arms around me, I started to shake him off. But then Dad said, Derek, we started together. Let's finish together. And Derek said, I realized this was exactly what I needed. My dad was the only one who knew exactly how I felt. And they went the rest of the way and crossed the finish line together. Powerful story. Life isn't easy. It's tough. The race that God has called us to is challenging. And we will stumble and we will fall. But when we do, we have a Father who will come and pick us up, put his arm around us, and call us by name. And in the moment of our failure, he will say, I've been with you from the beginning. We started this together. We're going to finish it together. Lean on me and we'll make it to the finish line. Psalm 60:12 says, we can win. We can win with God's help. Lean on the Lord and he will give you the desire, the direction, the discipline, and the determination. And he will help you to make it to the finish line and be a Nike, more than a conqueror, through him who loved us. Never give up. We can win with God's help. Let's pray together. Lord, you've made us for a purpose, and you have a race for each of us to run. It is our desire to be what you intended us to be in this life. We don't want to waste 1 minute of this life you've given to us wallowing in mediocrity or simply dabbling in our faith. Give us clear direction. And Lord, we may not understand it all, but we want you to guide us in exactly what you're calling us to do, both as a church, the direction of our church here at West Valley, and as individuals too. So help us to be disciplined and allow us to let go of things that are hindering our progress and do those things that will help us grow in our faith and service to you. Help us to give you all we've got. And we praise you, Lord, that we don't run this race alone. That when we stumble and get discouraged, you are there to put your arm around us and keep us going, encouraging us to never give up, because you are there to bring us to the finish line. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come forward if you would like confidential prayer this morning. We'd love to have you come both of these wonderful people are here to Sue and Bob are here to pray with you, and just we all need prayer. So if you have anything on your heart, please come forward. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Helper who helps us cross the finish line and finish the race, be with you all. Amen.